Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Big Blue Insider is on News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider, hour number two of our program. It's Kentucky LSU coming up on Saturday night, and the Wildcats will need to excel in all three phases, just as they did. They did just enough on offense and, of course, unbelievably well on defense and special teams. And a guy who played two of those three areas of the game is on our celebrity hotline, and he's already making a name for himself. Trevin Wallace, freshman linebacker, joins us. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. How about you?
We're good. How did practice go today? Is everybody looking ahead to LSU?
Yes, sir. We're out of move for LSU. You know, we have our head straight, and we focus on LSU right now.
Sounds good to me. Now, before we move forward, I don't know if you remember this, but this past summer, the UK TV and radio crews were invited to the cookout that the football team has during summer camp on Wednesday afternoons. And so just as we got there, I turned around, and there is a tall, good-looking, muscular kid in a jersey smiling and offering his hand and said, "Hello, I'm Trevin Wallace, and you're going to be hearing about me." Do you remember that?
No, sir.
You came over and introduced yourself to all of us on the broadcast crews. I was very impressed. You were very polite and poised. And I'm wondering, is your freshman year kind of going the way you would? I can't imagine you would ask for anything more. You're 5-0, right?
Yes, sir. That's real good, you know, being 5-0. But I ain't worried about being 5-0. I'm just worried about, you know, the team ahead of us.
And tell me a little bit about what it was like being a part of that game last Saturday with the crowd performing the way it was and the defense executing the way it did.
The game meant a lot to me because, you know, growing up, Florida was my dream school. And, you know, playing against your dream school and, like, coming out with a win, it meant a whole bunch to me.
Trevin, did you always play linebacker as a kid?
No. I played linebacker my senior year in high school. Like, growing up, I was like running back. I like safety.
So it was nice to get the ball back in your hands when Josh Pascal blocked it, huh?
Yeah, it felt good. It felt great getting the ball in my hands.
You, for a guy who came late to linebacker, I think I read you were the second best inside linebacker prospect in the country as a senior. So why did being a linebacker come so easily to you?
It came easy to me because I had a coach in high school as well as my uncle. He played linebacker too at the University of Oklahoma. But I had a coach as well in high school. And he used to teach me everything. Like, I used to come out to practice, watch film, or, like, he would help me on my footwork. So all that good work and hard work I did, like, helped me out a lot.
Did your uncle or did your coach ever return a blocked field goal for a touchdown on national television?
Nah, I don't think so.
You were quoted quite a bit as saying that sort of took you back to your days as a running back. How much fun was that when you broke free? And you got some great blocks, too.
Yeah, I got some great blocks, but it felt great just getting that ball and just running. I was like, just come back to the good old days, not just getting the ball and just run.
And, Trevin, did Josh Pascal say anything to you on the sideline after that play?
Yeah, he did. They were happy. They were all happy for me.
Now, you mentioned Florida was your dream school. What happened in your recruiting process? Did you meet Mark Stoops or Vince Marrow and decided you needed to go elsewhere?
Now, I really went off my, you know, parents' decision, basically my mother. You know, like I always tell everybody, if your mother is good with somebody, you know, if your mother's good with somebody, then you know you're going to be good with them too. Because if your mother don't feel comfortable with them, I'm not saying she didn't feel comfortable with the Georgia coaches, but she felt, with the Florida coaches, but she felt more comfortable with the Kentucky coaches, and I was like, so my mother's feel comfortable with that, and I'm going to go with them.
Did Vince Merrill charm her? Is that what happened?
No, no, no.
Who charmed her?
Nobody did. My mama just prayed. She just prayed, you know, that the Lord having his hands.
And, you know, I've heard that for many, many years, you know, that moms are so vital in this process. But, Trevin, moms also like their sons to play close to home. She's okay, I guess, with you being – it's not that far away, but she was okay with saying goodbye to you and sending you off?
Yeah, she was, because she kind of used to it, because my mother, her brother, played at Oklahoma, you know, yeah. That's far away too. So she was like – and she wanted me to get far away from home, because she was like, if you're close to home, you're going to come back home every time, and then you come back home, nothing – good gonna happen, so just go far away.
Trevin, who are you close with on the team? Are you roommates with anybody? Who do you hang out with?
Me and Martez, or you know, we both from Georgia, so you know we gotta stick together.
And you, Billy mentioned Josh Pascal. Tell me what it's like having him for a teammate, watching him in that Florida game, just watching him work every day. What's that like?
It's real good. Like I look up to him. I look at him a lot. Because knowing somebody that's a leader and he the type of senior that's gonna keep working to show outstanding work ethic, and he show how he gonna lead us and lead the freshmen on. So I feel real good.
Speaking of role models, Trevin, is there anybody that you model your game after?
I model my game after myself. I ain't gonna model my game after nobody else. You know, I'm trying to make a name for myself. I ain't gonna try to model after nobody else.
And by the way, people who read up about you after this game read about your unbelievable final game where you ran for 382 yards. And Mark Stoops kind of jokingly said, maybe I need to put him in running back. How would you feel about that if you got a little bit of a turn at running back some point?
I mean, if the coach put me there, I'm going to ball out. I mean, it'll be real fun, like, just going back to my running back days. But if the coach see that's where I need to be, or he put me there, then I like it.
Trevin, what would you do if you weren't a football player?
What would I do if I wasn't a football player?
Correct.
I will work construction because my dad and my grandpa got a construction company, so I'll work with them.
So you're used to seeing teamwork in action, building something, right?
Yeah, I'm just seeing stuff getting built.
It must be a ball to be a Kentucky football player right now, but I know the coaches, and really, you guys yourselves said it after the game, we're going to celebrate and get right back to work and look at LSU. Have the coaches been hammering that home this week?
Yeah, the players have too as well. Like, we were like, okay, the celebration over. Now we got to focus ahead of us. Leave that in the past. We got to focus on what's in front of us right now.
Trevin, did you say what's up to Waka Flocka on the sideline this weekend?
Yeah, I'd say what's up with him in the locker room.
Well, is he on your pregame playlist? What kind of music do you listen to?
I listen to old school music, like throwback, like before I was even born. I listen to like Tupac, I listen to Biggie, like you name it, like old school, I listen to it.
So you're excited for the next Super Bowl halftime
show?
That's
what I was going to ask.
With Dr.
Yeah.
Dre and Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, I am. I really am.
Now, I got to tell you that Billy here, not real happy with that, but at least you'll be
fine. I mean, it'll be fine. I think it had been better 20 years ago, but I think it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to catch them while they was in their prime. Right now, they still got it, but catching them back then, yeah, you'll enjoy it.
My contention is they're trying to go for as broad an audience as they can. So why not? You know, why not go with those guys? But we'll see. Just a couple minutes left with Trevin Wallace, who is, of course, the Kentucky linebacker who scored with the blocked field goal to help put away the Florida Gators. And so now you're 1-0. You know the history of Kentucky series. With Florida, I mean, you know, 1986 is the last home game the Wildcats won against the Gators. Now you're 1-0, Trevin. So you're helping to set a new standard, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
When you looked at Kentucky, yeah, I know Mom liked the idea of you coming here. What appealed to you about coming up here to play your college football?
What really stood out to me was the coaches, especially Coach Summerall, because – you know, he come up here and he's like, he was all open arms. Like, he just brought me in, you know, put me under his wing. Like, he just coached me hard. And, like, he looked to me like I'm one of his sons. And I like that. Like, so a coach I can go to and, like, talk to him about anything.
And before I let you go, I throw a little love to your teammate and you share the position room with Jacquez Jones. Knocked that pass down at the end of the game.
Yeah,
what kind of player is he?
Being around Jacquez is fun. Like, he's a funny guy. Like, being around him, he brings good energy. Like, you, like, if you're sad or like you're just not feeling good, if you're around him, like, your energy just get picked back up, because it's real cool being around him.
I saw him. I talked to him on media day. I didn't get a chance to talk to you, but he said, "I've come here to make plays." He said, "I made plays at Ole Miss, and that's what I came here to do." And he's doing it, isn't he?
He is.
Trevin, do you have a nickname on the team?
No, I don't have no nickname.
Not yet.
Not for the team, but my family, yeah, they gave me a nickname, but I can't share the information now. That's top secret.
Well, we will respect your decision to keep that a secret from us, because you were kind enough to share some time with us. Thank you so much for talking with us. You did a great job. I enjoyed meeting you in the summer, even though you don't remember that. But I'm sure we'll talk again throughout your career, because you're here to make plays, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Trevin. I appreciate your time.
Yes, sir.
Have a good evening.
You too.
All right. Trevin Wallace, you saw him Saturday. You'll see him again this Saturday. And, Billy, this guy's sitting, I think, on a big career.
Only a freshman, Dick?
Only a freshman.
Only way to go is up?
Wouldn't that be cool if they gave him some reps at running back? Man.
No, Dick.
Yes, it would?
No.
Why?
I mean, Kentucky is getting, what, 5-6 years of Benny Snell, Chris Rodriguez, Boom Williams. Got to keep that tradition going. We need Trevin on defense.
Yeah, I'm not saying take him off defense. I just said some reps. Now and then.
You're pushing,
right?
Pushing it now, Dick.
That's okay. That's what I'm here for.
As long
for.
As it's not in the Wildcat. my one rule. No direct snap.
Hey, you weren't here, but you know who scored the first touchdown in the 06 Music City Bowl was a Kentucky linebacker, Micah Johnson. Put him in running back.
Oh, they put him in running back?
They sure
was
did.
It the Wildcat?
No, it wasn't the Wildcat.
There you go.
They beat Steve Spurrier with the Wildcat. I will remind you of that for the first time. They beat Steve Spurrier. It's got to be run properly, and it's got to have motion attached. Otherwise, yeah, I don't like when everybody in the stadium knows it's going to him, and there's no men in motion, there's no nothing. It's just, you know.
You got to fake the run to Will Levis?
Yeah, it's there 11 guys pushing up the middle to stop him? Yeah, no thank you. But it done properly? Absolutely. Take a break. Back in a few, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Trevin Wallace for joining us. Should I be offended he didn't remember me? Probably not. He's had a lot coming at him. As long as he keeps making plays like that, I couldn't care less if he remembers me. But we do appreciate his time. I think he's on his way to a tutoring session, so thanks to him. Looking at basketball quickly, coming up Thursday is when tickets for the men's basketball blue-white game go on sale. Thursday, 5 p.m., online only. Ticketmaster.com or use the Ticketmaster app. Prices range from $5 to $25. All seating is reserved, so you don't have the eruption zone happening. And everybody needs a ticket regardless of age, so can't be carrying anybody in. 7 o'clock, October 22nd, 1 week after Madness, of course, in Rupp Arena at Central Bank Center. That's the name now. And, of course, it'll be on the SEC Network. And I say of course because that's the way it's been through the years, recent years. But back in the day, of course, we at KYT were able to televise it. I think ESPN might have picked it up once. But everything has changed. No question about that. And ticket information for regular season home games coming up soon. If you want new season tickets, enter the men's basketball season ticket lottery online or contact the sales office directly. That's an 800 number, 800-928-2287. Choose option one or call to find out what's available with a K-Fund pledge. That's the lower level seating. Call the UK Athletics K-Fund staff, 859-257-6300. So Madness on the 15th, Blue-White on the 22nd. And Billy, you might be surprised, and it might not be this way. And yeah, well, you were here last year. It's always surprising to me. Maybe it shouldn't be, because I realize Madness is a different animal. But there have been years where they've had a full house for Madness, less than half the house full for Blue-White. It's been a little different since. But I'm like, Madness, they come out and shoot layups. And I know they dance and they throw down dunks and all that. But why not go to Madness and come to a real inter-squad game?
I mean, if you're itching for the basketball, then I don't think you could go wrong with either one, Dick.
I agree.
I think if you're asking me to pick, though, I'd rather go to Madness, wouldn't you?
I suppose. Well, I guess what I can't understand is why not. And, you know, I guess some people maybe don't want to take the time to go to both. I don't know.
Well, one's more of a pep rally.
Right.
More of a entertainment. The other one is more of like a glorified practice, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. To me, it's, you know, who are these guys and what can they do? And I get it's a long season. I guess we're going to find that out.
Yeah, well, I saw Khalil Whitney come out with those sunglasses on, and I thought he was going to be a star player on the team. You remember that?
Yeah. I think that there have been some surprises through the years and some not-so-great surprises through the years, but and some people dance better than others as well. SEC Nation, of course, will be here broadcasting live ahead of the UK game when the Wildcats take on the LSU Tigers. They're going to set up at the Young Library 10 a.m. this Saturday. And, of course, they want as many fans as they can get. Laura Rutledge hosting the show. Fifth year she's hosted the show. Feinbaum's going to be there, Roman Harper, Jordan Rogers, and Tim Tebow. Marty and McGee will be live 9 to 10 as well. Roy, what's up?
Nothing much, brother, just getting older. I'll make a couple of comments and see what you say. Before the Florida game, I was thinking that if Kentucky won one of them out of the three and nobody got hurt, we would be lucky. But I think we'll beat LSU. I'm just hoping that when we play Georgia that nobody gets hurt. I think it'll be a close ball game. But my opinion, Georgia at home, they'll pull it out.
You think it'll be close? Do you really?
Yes, sir.
Wow.
I think it'll be close. They might have they have a chance of winning it. But they're, like you said, Levis is going to have to up at another level,
yeah.
And he's going to have to cut down on his turnovers.
Yeah. They got to do against – not that we're looking by LSU.
They got to do that against LSU.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That goes without saying. There's too many good players involved.
I look at it like this. If we beat LSU and Georgia looks up and beats us, we ain't got nothing to be ashamed of.
True.
And those kids are playing hard, and I know that. I like what J.J. Weaver said when a reporter asked him about his fumble, and did the coach stress to him about ball security. He said, I'm not the only one that needs ball security.
That's right. He said, Ken, don't we all?
And yeah, don't we all?
Yeah.
But
he's
think we'll beat Ellis. I think we'll beat LSU. I just hope and pray we don't get no serious injuries in the next two ball games.
Good call. So, thanks, Roy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right. He's right. Stay healthy. You know, and we talked with Freddie about those areas, Billy, on the defensive side of the ball, where they've got players, they just don't have a lot of experienced players. So stay – and, you know, they lose Marquand McCall. And back in the day, losing – A D lineman, B, a nose tackle from a 3-4 would have been disastrous for Kentucky. But look at how they recruited. And I remember when they signed Justin Rogers, that was a true cause for celebration. Got him away from the Big Ten schools, Michigan State. They lose Marquand McCall, who comes in after Quentin Bohanna graduates. They lose McCall for 2 or 3 weeks at least. and Rodgers and a couple others. They're able to plug in. They're not quite as good, but they're learning.
And we have to give some credit to Brad White.
Oh, man.
Because we were skeptical of this defense at the start of the year, especially with that cornerback depth. And they have just put back-to-back great performances.
More football chatter when we come back. It's the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. Kentucky LSU coming up Saturday night. You'll hear it right here. Key to victory, Billy. Scoring more points.
That's important.
Pretty simple, right? It always is. Isn't that right, John? Scoring more points than the other team, that's a key to victory?
Yes, indeedy.
You got that right. So how many more points will Kentucky score?
I think it's like, we can score like 35, 40 points for Louisiana State.
Wow, no kidding.
That'd be good.
Why are you so confident, John?
Because I think that maybe we can beat them because we haven't played them since 2007, 2006. Now, if we went from Missouri and Texas A&M joined the South Six Cross, we would play Louisiana State 2011 and 2012, and then 2016, 2017. This is still a good year we will play them anyway, this year and next year.
Well, John, you always love to look back in the past, and I know you remember what happened in 2006, right?
Yes. Louisiana State turned season around.
Yep. But do you remember the final score?
I think it was like 42-0.
49.
Yeah. But that changed our
it sure did.
Season around.
It sure did. They went back to work. They got a week off, had the open date, and Rich Brooks said we're going to get more physical, and they did, and they jumped up and beat Mississippi State. And I think that was a one-point game, wasn't it, John?
It was. Also beat Georgia, too.
That's
the Georgia game was not televised.
The Georgia game had freshman named Matthew Stafford, and Kentucky
wins it,
yeah, and took down the goalposts. First time they'd taken down the goalposts since the Alabama win.
That's right. Oh, if I tell you, the Gulf Coast would be Alabama. It was not a good Alabama team. I would take the Gulf Coast down with a strong Alabama team, not a weak one. They didn't seem like we did that year.
Anytime you beat Alabama, John, anytime you beat Alabama. Hell, they've only done it once.
In 1922 before 1997.
Exactly. Exactly. John, as always, you're right on it.
And also, we've got to talk about this. We're going to be receiving State tomorrow.
6 o'clock volleyball. It's on ESPNU. And it's another big one. Yeah, it's another big one. Mississippi State's pretty good this year.
So that would give Kentucky a good run for his money.
And you're predicting a sweep, I know.
That's correct, yep.
That's correct. Okay. So you'll be checking that one out, John?
I will be, yep.
Good. Well, I know that knowing that, that'll make them play harder, right?
It will, yes.
There you go. Thanks, John. Good talking to you. 280-2287, that's 280-CATS, 800-606-GAME. Tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. I read this off to Billy, and you don't seem too concerned about it. Me,
what?
And I'm a guy who is sympathetic to officials as anybody, because I worked baseball for 10 years, and my brother works baseball, basketball, and volleyball. But this is stupid. Notre Dame, Cincinnati. Cincinnati wins. Cincinnati, I think, is a better team. But there was a key play where Cincinnati recovers a fumble, and at first and 10 from the 17, the Notre Dame 17, they get 11 on a read option run. And the quarterback works his way past Kyle Hamilton, an All-American for Notre Dame. And evidently you could see it on television that a blocker had both hands full of jersey, basically holding like crazy. And Drew Brees, doing the color for NBC, said that's the key block right there. He got away with a hold. Mike Tirico said blatant hold, clear miss by the official, which happens. I get that. And they held held Cincinnati to a field goal. But the Notre Dame kid goes up to the official and says, "Hey, man, you know, the guy had me." And the ref says, "You're an All-American. I shouldn't have to call holding there." What? You got a different set of rules for different players? That's completely bogus. You don't seem too upset about it.
I think you're taking it a little too seriously, Dick. I don't think the ref is looking up who's an All-American and who's not.
He knows
and basing his calls based on exactly
that. That's what he said he did. He said, "Kyle," called him by name, "Kyle, you're an All-American. I shouldn't have to call holding on you."
Yeah, I think it's foolish to think that the ref would tell him his intentions.
He did. You don't think this happened? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm sure he said something like that, and then the Notre Dame player regurgitated it. But right. I'm just saying the guy that's counting cards at the casino doesn't tell the people that he's counting cards, right?
One has nothing to do with the other. You are correct about the casino, right? I just watched Rain Man. They kicked him out of the casino for counting cards.
There's a saying that there's holding on every play, right?
There's holding and then there's holding.
And it's not called. So you're asking again for a ref to make a judgment call, which is the problem with the refs in the sport, is there's too many judgment calls.
Well, that's what almost all of them are. But my point is, if I hold you, that's one thing. If an All-American kid who happens to be an All-American is the victim of holding and doesn't get the benefit of a call because the official thinks, "Well, you're a good player, so I shouldn't have to call it," that's bogus.
I'm saying,
I would never, as an umpire, I would never alter the strike zone. If a guy comes up and he's a really good hitter, I would never alter the strike zone. And when he complains to me, you know, I would never say, "Hey, man, you're an All-American. You ought to be able to hit that pitch." Because what I'm saying is, yeah, that might have been ball four. That might have been 6 inches outside. But you're an All-American. You ought to be able to hit that pitch.
One, I don't think the ref is so biased that he is going up to the player that he's biased against and saying, "I didn't make that call because you are a better player than what I should be calling it."
That's exactly what he said.
I don't think that's his true intentions, despite him saying that. Two, you absolutely treat the quarterback differently than you do a defensive lineman, Dick.
Different issue. Totally different issue.
No, it's not.
By rule, you have to treat the quarterback differently. You have to.
I think that the NBA, if we want to keep bouncing around sports, protects superstars.
I don't.
Than other players. LeBron James can walk in a game and not be called for a travel.
I don't. That doesn't mean I like it.
Right, but I'm telling you that some players are treated differently than others.
There's no question. My point is, for a referee to tell this kid, he should have kept his mouth shut. He should have just said, "I didn't see it that way." But for him to say, "You're an All-American, I'm not going to call that play because this poor kid from Cincinnati has to hold you, otherwise he can't compete."
I don't think he was speaking literally, if we want to get down to the nuts and bolts of it.
Looked that way to me.
Well, were you there?
No, I'm
or
reading.
Just
I'm,
the
I'm reading.
Hand,
I'm reading. Second
hand account.
Everything's a second hand account.
So
that we talk about on this show.
You don't know how the
there.
Ref said it. You don't know
you think
if
he
it was
kidding.
In jest? Absolutely.
Oh.
You think that these refs are 100% serious with every player they talk to, or if they say for the 1,000th time that somebody comes up to complain about a call that wasn't called, and they know that you're a good player, maybe he said, "Hey, man, come on, you're a better player than that. I don't have to call holding on you."
No, I ain't buying it.
I don't think he went up to the guy that he's biased against and said, "I'm not calling that."
No, he didn't.
Because you're a better player than that.
No, he didn't. The player went to him.
Oh, same thing.
No, it's not. Not at all. But I do agree on the NBA. And I don't think that's right. Different set of rules for different players. Go to Chuck on line two. Hi, Chuck.
Hey. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I think Billy's being wrong here.
Uh-oh.
Sorry. Goodbye.
That's it? No. He didn't really back up his case.
Wow. A mic drop from Chuck.
That is a mic drop. It's a phone drop.
Better get your popcorn ready.
Did you see any or hear any of Chris Doering on the SEC Network Monday morning?
I did not.
He signs on, you know, they do that studio show, right? And it's simulcast on SEC radio. This is kind of risky. I mean, you're a broadcaster. And he did it for effect, obviously. And what we're talking about, folks, is Alabama Ole Miss. Lane Kiffin did a pregame interview and said something like, get your popcorn or better have your popcorn ready or something like that. It was kind of midweek, wasn't it?
No, it was right before the game on the field.
Was it? Okay.
With the headset on and then throwing the headset at the camera.
Gotcha. Okay. And he obviously does it for effect. He's trying to build a name, build a brand. And then what happens? Mississippi absolutely laid literally a goose egg. Alabama just kicked their butt. Chris Doering, friend of our show. Next time he comes on, we got to tell him we're both eating popcorn. He comes on the air and he signs on with Peter Burns and he's shoving popcorn in his mouth. And he's talking through this popcorn. It was pretty funny. But later in the show, he says, you drank my water. I'm not eating any more popcorn. I can't take it. It's pretty funny. But listening to what he was trying to say through popcorn, we need to try that some night.
I'm too worried about Chuck and why he disagrees with me. Just hung up the phone. Didn't have any rebuttal for us.
No, you know.
Just Billy's wrong.
What's the fun in that, right?
Oh, let's just go up to the player that I obviously didn't make a call against and tell him why I didn't do it. Come on now.
I think we probably disagree as well. We're flipping the script here. You're more upset about Urban Meyer than I am. Urban Meyer did not fly back with his team from Cincinnati. He went to Columbus where he has family and he owns a restaurant, and he went to his restaurant. And I don't think it's a big deal except somebody shoots video of him sitting there while a woman dances next to him. She wanted him to dance with her and he wouldn't do it. So she starts dancing around him.
Oh my God.
It was yeah,
please whitewash this scene for me, Dick. Come on. There's another camera angle of him sticking his finger up her butt.
What?
You didn't see that part?
I did not.
Wow. You had to read the internet a little bit closer. First of all, the man's 0-4. And after a primetime game in which you lost after leading early with your number one overall pick,
right,
you decide to go to the bar and talk to women. Now, I'm all for having a good time and going to a restaurant that you own. But please, Urban, can you give me 17 weeks out of the year of some commitment? It is unprecedented for him to not get on the plane ride back home. People just don't do that. I think I saw Bill Parcells was one of the last coaches to ever do that.
To not fly with the team?
Not fly home with the team.
People didn't get this upset about it.
Well, I think I'd be a little bit more lenient if he was 4-0 and he wasn't a disaster.
But he wasn't 0-4.
Did you hear how he addressed it to his team?
Yeah, he apologized for being a distraction.
And then they laughed him out of the room because they didn't believe him, Dick.
Well,
it sounds like
which?
You believe Urban Meyer and you'd love to stick up for
they
him.
They didn't believe what? What part did they not believe?
They didn't, that he was genuine.
Ah.
That he came to them and told him why he wasn't preparing with the team, why he didn't go home and take his job seriously, why they had to find videos of him online sticking his finger up some girl's butt.
I did not see that video.
It was ridiculous.
A coach not flying back with his team, I guess it just doesn't bother me that much.
In his first year.
Yeah.
In an experimental year where you're making the jump from college to the pros. And a coach that had quit a previous job to spend more time with his family did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That didn't look like spending a lot of time with your family over the weekend.
I believe his wife was there.
Was it the one grinding on him?
Nah.
Also, if there's a woman grinding on me.
Not a good look.
And I don't want to be grinded on, I don't shift my body towards them. Right? I don't have my back to the bar.
By then, he's already in. He's not with a team. He's not. I'm talking about flying with a team. There's no going back after that.
Well, he's embarrassed.
Yeah.
can't face his team.
But I guess it's because I've heard he's not the only coach. Patino at times didn't fly back with his team. I mean, you know.
I mean, that's not a great role model. Do you want to base this off?
Who cares?
Who cares? What do you mean? Everybody.
If you're a player, well, too many people, obviously. If you're a player.
The franchise, the owner.
If you're a player, does that really matter to you?
Yes.
I guess it does.
I mean, if I'm a professional.
Why?
Because we all have a common goal. And he's jeopardizing my career in the NFL.
On the same plane? How does that affect?
I have a very limited time in the NFL, Dick. Average career span is 4 years.
And how does him not being on the airplane affect your career?
If everybody is not entirely in to create a system that wins you ball games, then you're putting my future in jeopardy.
I don't see how him not being on a plane has any effect on that whatsoever.
Wow.
Because the next day, they're off. Right?
That depends on the team. I don't know what their schedule is. But if you're telling me that it's unprecedented for a coach to not fly back with the team, especially when they're in a losing streak.
It's not unprecedented.
I'm saying it is.
Well, no, like I said, I've heard it. You just brought up Parcells.
And you brought up Bobby Petrino.
No. I said Rick Pitino.
Oh, you said Rick Pitino?
Yes. I didn't say Bobby Petrino. I would never invoke that name. As an example.
Well, I mean, you didn't go one great role model to another, but I guess.
I can tell you that Petrino, they hated. I know this for a fact. The Atlanta Falcons hated traveling with Petrino because Petrino said no one's allowed to talk on the plane. That you have
what?
To be yes. You have to be silent. He had a thing about noise, and if you spoke at all to the guy next to you, it had to be a whisper, and God help you if Petrino could hear it. He had a thing about noise. Had his office soundproofed, and when he left, everybody was all ticked off about it. Everybody got righteous about him leaving. The players loved it. This is according to their radio, one of their radio network guys who traveled with the team. And after he left, they go on the road. They win a game. He said the party on the plane was epic. Noise, you bet. So, no, I would never quote Petrino. No thanks. Knew how to coach quarterbacks, so I'll give you that. We'll take a break. Back in a minute, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Our thanks again to Trevin Wallace and Freddie Maggard. Fun talking football with a couple of guys who know what they're talking about from the inside out. Coming up tomorrow night, Derek Ramsey will join us, a former Wildcat quarterback. He knows what it's like to beat LSU and Florida. Beat them bad, too. And Jeff Drummond of Cats Illustrated, who was right there on the sidelines taking pictures. Wonder if he's going to take pictures of the soccer team. I guess if they have any former UK players. If you're just joining us, came in late, we talked earlier about the fact that Lexington will have a USL League One soccer team starting play in 2023. So another pro sport comes to town. So that is technically the fourth, I guess. Got the hockey team, or there are two hockey teams. You have the Legends. You had the Horsemen. I know you would have hated that name, Billy, but Arena Football, it was fun. I was a season ticket holder for the Horsemen. Dusty Bonner was a quarterback.
What?
Dusty Bonner led them to a league championship. How about that?
I love how close the walls are.
Oh, man. I thought it was
indoor
great.
Indoor football. You just get thrown
Lorenzen,
over it sometimes.
Jared Lorenzen played for the
hefty
Horsemen.
Hefty lefty.
Yeah.
In the arena. That sounds like a match made in heaven.
Oh, man, it was great. And
I think
fact,
I remember that, actually, yeah.
The
River Monsters, wasn't it?
No, he played here. And then some years later, he played in Cincinnati. That's when he broke his leg. But, you know, the night the Horsemen won the championship, they were on the road. They played up in South Dakota. And they had a watch party at the Legends Ballpark. That's where I watched the game. They put it up on the big screen. Wasn't the best look, but it was fun.
The championship was in South Dakota?
South Dakota.
That seems backwards.
Well, that was part of their league one of the teams in their league, and I guess they had home field advantage.
Oh, okay, home field. You
know, yeah. It was fun, though, man. It was great.
So you're going to get your soccer season tickets?
I don't know. Like I said, I had Horseman season tickets, and it was great. I used to have UK football season tickets. The problem is, of course, you know, if we're still doing this show at that time, but they'll probably be playing while we're on the air.
Yeah.
Maybe catch some weekend. We could get a weekend package. I'll split it with you. How's that?
Give away some tickets, too.
That's right. So there's another pledge. Coffee with mayonnaise, I will drink.
Ugh.
If Kentucky makes it to the SEC title game. And we'll split some weekend season soccer tickets.
Sounds good to me.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.